All right, tonight I want you to turn with me to the book of Psalms and chapter 92. Psalm 92, a beautiful song of thanksgiving, as so many of the Psalms are. I want you to turn there and to read with me, and I'm going to begin reading at verse 1 after we pause for a word of prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we are indeed grateful that Thou hast paved for us the way of eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. We thank Thee for this season of thanksgiving when our hearts are reminded of the debt of gratitude that we owe first to Thee and to our pilgrim fathers and to all who have made possible the life that we live and the things that we enjoy. May we not take for granted even the least of Thy favors, but may we at all times and in everything be thankful for that which Thou hast done. As we read this word tonight, may the Holy Spirit write a prayer of thanksgiving upon our hearts, that we might be ever grateful to Thee for all Thou hast done. As we pray and ask these things through Jesus Christ our Lord, and for His sake, and with thanksgiving. Amen. It is a good thing to give thanks unto the Lord, and to sing praises unto Thy name, O Most High, to show forth Thy loving kindness in the morning, and Thy faithfulness every night. Upon an instrument of 10 strings, and upon the psaltery, upon the harp with a solemn sound. For Thou, Lord, hast made me glad through Thy work. I will triumph in the works of Thy hands. O Lord, how great are Thy works, and Thy thoughts are very deep. A brutish man knoweth not, neither doth a fool understand this. When the wicked spring as the grass, and when all the workers of iniquity do flourish, it is that they shall be destroyed forever. But Thou, Lord, art most high forevermore. For lo, Thine enemies, O Lord, for lo, Thine enemies shall perish. All the workers of iniquity shall be scattered, but my horn shalt Thou exalt like the horn of an unicorn. I shall be anointed with fresh oil. Mine eye also shall see my desire on mine enemies, and mine ears shall hear my desire of the wicked that they rise up, or that rise up against me. The righteous shall flourish like the palm tree. He shall grow like a cedar in Lebanon. Those that be planted in the house of the Lord shall flourish in the courts of our God. They shall still bring forth fruit in old age. They shall be fat and flourishing to show that the Lord is upright. He is my rock, and there is no unrighteousness in Him. The thanksgiving theme is so inexhaustible that I feel that we must continue tonight in part 2 of our message this morning. Let us be thankful. Now, if we had nothing to be thankful for but the things that we have enjoyed this day, it would take a long time to express our thanks for it. Have you realized that it is only through the goodness of the Lord that you have lived through this day? God has provided the necessary air for you to breathe. God has given you food to eat. And God has kept your heart beating to circulate your blood through your system to guarantee your life every moment this day. There are several other areas in which I feel that we ought to be thankful. Number 1, let us be thankful for our colorful heritage. It was over 350 years ago that the sturdy little ship, the Mayflower, set out on a long voyage, the destination, the New World. The men and women on board that ship were men and women of destiny. And what a destiny it has proved to be. Those things, again, that we enjoy tonight are enjoyed by each of us because someone was willing to go ahead, to pioneer the way, to pave the road, to make it possible for us to be here. We owe to our heritage an eternal debt of gratitude and thanksgiving. These men and women who sighted land and who came to the land were the rocks from which our nation was hewn. Thus, to them we owe our national birth. To those men and women on the Mayflower who were daring and bold and courageous enough to set out on a high sea to come to a new world where there could be new ideas and new thoughts and new progress to bring us to 1968. They, I believe, were rocks, solid rocks. And when I think of those rocks, I'm reminded of another rock. And I speak now of the rock to whom we owe our spiritual birth, even Jesus Christ, our Lord, the rock of our eternal salvation. This is the rock that Moses smote in the wilderness, from which came the fountain of living water. This is the rock that followed Israel in the days of their wilderness wanderings, that sustained them during that 40-year period. This is the rock upon which this church is built. Jesus said it, "Thou art Peter," that is the small rock, Petros, "and upon this rock, the large rock, Petra, I am building my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it." Now, may I help you for just a moment here concerning the church? I am of this persuasion that there is no power in all the world that is powerful enough to destroy the church of Jesus Christ. There are a lot of isms. There are a lot of people tonight that would destroy the church. And believe it or not, some of them are dressed in clerical robes that would destroy the rock and the foundation and the church of Jesus Christ. Now, everything that has a steeple pointing to the sky is not a church. A church is a called out assembly of baptized believers in Christ Jesus with a personal faith, with a personal commitment, with a personal identification with the Son of God. That is the church I'm talking about that is built upon the rock. The rock that I speak of is the rock about which Isaiah said, "God hath laid in Zion a stone, and he that believeth upon it," or upon him, Christ, "shall not be moved." And what a gracious thought it is to know that we are planted tonight upon a solid rock. A rock that has been tried and proven. A rock that is precious. A rock that is enduring. A rock that is established. A rock that is eternal. That's Jesus Christ. A street preacher was once preaching away in London during the Shamrock season. And as always, there was a heckler in the crowd. And the heckler on the fringe of the crowd said to the preacher, trying to disturb him, "Say, preacher, what do you know about the Shamrock?" And the preacher just kept on preaching, just like I do when some of you talk and just ignore it. But he said it the second time, "Preacher, what do you know about the Shamrock?" And the preacher just kept on preaching. But he came back the third and the fourth time, and that was as much as the preacher could take. And he paused in his preaching, and a holy hush came over the crowd that was waiting to hear what he was going to say next. And here is what he said: "On Christ, the solid rock, I stand. All other rocks are sham rocks." And that's the truth tonight. There is no rock outside Christ. There is no solid foundation. There is no hope. There is no life. There is no light. There is no liberty outside Him. I'm glad I'm on that rock tonight, and the devil couldn't shake me off if he wanted to. Because Jesus said, I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish. No man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. I'm on the rock tonight, and I'm glad there's honey in the rock. My brother, there's honey in the rock for you. If you're not on that rock, I hope that you'll get on and find that firm, enduring, solid, everlasting foundation, even Jesus Christ our Lord. I'm talking to you about the heritage, not only of the Pilgrim Fathers, but of Jesus Christ. What made those pilgrims so great? Many things, no doubt, but I submit three things. One, I believe that they were great because they were a people possessed of an unblighted vision. From their home in the old world, they could see something. Now, they didn't have any architect's design or artist's picture. They had no color slides. They had no books about it, nothing to read about it. They just had in their hearts and minds a vision. And the wise Solomon says in Proverbs 29:18, where there is no vision, the people perish. You and I ought to have a vision tonight. As Jesus tarries His coming and spares our lives as we approach the new year, we ought to have a vision of expanding the ministry of this church. We ought to have a vision of expanding our own individual, personal, Christian experiences. We ought to have a vision to win the lost to Jesus Christ. What kind of vision have you tonight? What do you see, you Sunday school teachers? What do you see in that little child that you're teaching week after week? Just a curly-haired boy? Just a girl with pigtails streaming down her back? Is that all you see? Can you not see in them the potential of something great for tomorrow? Can you not see in every person you meet the likeness of God? For God made man in His own image. Now we've marred that likeness and image. True enough, because sin has disturbed man's relationship to God. But thanks be unto God, Jesus Christ can reestablish that relationship. Those people on the Mayflower were people with an unblighted vision. Secondly, they were people with an unflinching faith. They had faith in the ship, but more than that, they had faith in God. For God was the captain of that ship. And I believe God directed them across the treacherous seas and planted their feet upon the shores of the New World to begin something that we're enjoying tonight. They were people of an unflinching faith. Paul writes in Hebrews 11:6, without faith, it is impossible to please Him. In the third place, they were a people of an unfailing courage. It took a whole lot of courage for them to get on that ship and set sail on an open sea. But you know, the Lord has promised us courage. In Psalm 27 and verse 14, wait on the Lord and He shall renew thy courage. Wait, I say, upon the Lord. They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and never faint. It took a whole lot of courage to make that voyage. But you know, one thing that I believe took more courage than the initial trip was the courage to remain in the New World when that little Mayflower set sail to go back to her home. After those long and treacherous months, hazardous months, months of heartache, months of death, months of privation, when the Mayflower set sail to go back and the pilgrims stood on the shore and bade farewell to their friends and some to their families, it took a whole lot of courage to stay in the new world. Beloved in the Lord Jesus Christ, we are in a new world. And even though there be hazards along the way and problems and perils and persecutions in the new world of life in the Lord Jesus Christ, how dare we ever turn back to go into the old world again? Let us muster by faith and by the grace of God to remain in the new world, a world that's been opened up. And what a world it is. The world that God has opened up to each one of us through faith in Jesus Christ. They were a people of an unfailing courage. Let us be thankful for such a colorful heritage as we enjoy tonight. And then in the second place, let us be thankful for our constant helper. The Lord is my helper. You know, when we stop to realize what God has done for us and how He's helped us, it would be hard for us to keep our feet on the ground. Nestled back in the Old Testament, in 1 Samuel chapter 7 is a very beautiful story. You know, the Bible is a beautiful book. Oh, I wish that as Christians we would spend more time in the Word of God. It's such a beautiful book. There is drama and love and poetry and prophecy and all of these things in this book tonight. And away back there in 1 Samuel, there's a beautiful story about a war that took place between Israel and the Philistines. And the Israelites came forth victorious because God fought on their side. You and I can never lose a war as long as God is fighting for us. And the Lord is a man of war. And He does and He will fight for us. He fought for Israel. They won the victory over the Philistines. And when Samuel, the prophet and priest of God, was ready to make some sort of commemoration about it, he set up a stone. And he called that place Ebenezer, which means the stone of help. And Samuel said, "Hitherto, the Lord hath helped us." I'm glad to report to you tonight that in every conflict, in every war, in every struggle, in every situation of your life, God is your helper. And He has never lost a battle. Jesus is an attorney that has never lost a case. God is the final judge. It is with His right hand that we are upheld tonight. And we can say with the poet, after we've come through all of our struggles and trials and all of the heartaches and all the battles, "Here I raise mine Ebenezer. Hitherto by thy help I've come, and I hope by thy good pleasure safely to arrive at home. Jesus sought me when a stranger, wandering far from the fold of God, He to rescue me from danger interposed His precious blood. Hitherto the Lord hath helped us." The ways in which the Lord has helped us are too many to mention, but I shall call to your attention just three. Number one, He has helped us out of the horrible pit of sin. And two, He has helped us over the hazardous pathway of service. And three, He will help us into the heavenly portals of the Savior. Out of the horrible pit of sin. That's what the psalmist said in Psalm chapter 40. "I waited for the Lord, and He inclined unto me and heard my cry. He brought me up also out of an horrible pit, out of the miry clay, and set my feet upon a rock and established my going. And put a song in my mouth, even praise unto our God. Many shall see it and shall fear. Many shall trust in the Lord." I'm glad that God brought us up out of the miry pits of sin. And for some, beloved, he had to reach a long way to get us out of the past and the pit of sin and to bring us out of it victoriously, putting our feet upon a solid rock, which is Christ Jesus. And over that hazardous pathway of service he has brought us, I'm willing to claim the same promise that God made to Joshua in chapter 1 and verse 5. There shall not be a man able to stand before thee all the days of thy life. As I was with Moses, I will be with thee. I will not fail thee nor forsake thee. That's God's word. That's a written guarantee of God's golden grace. What can you do better than that than to have God's word to you? I will never fail thee nor forsake thee. The pathway of service becomes hazardous at times. But we have an advocate, and that means a go-between. We have one to go alongside us, to lift us up when we've fallen, to encourage us when we're discouraged, to bind our wounds when we are broken and bleeding and bruised. That's Jesus Christ. He has helped us over the hazardous pathway of service. And bless your heart. In the appointed hour of death, when we stand, as it were, at the brink of the river of death, we can say to him, just like we've said in life, "Dear Jesus, I put my life now in thy hands to guide me over the river of death." You see, we've got one who has already conquered death for us, who said, "Because I live, ye shall live also." Who said, "I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die." Jesus said, "I am he that was dead and am alive forevermore, and have in my hand the key of death and hell." I don't fear death. No, I'm not getting anxious to die. Don't misunderstand me. Because I believe God has work for us to do at his appointed time. If it's today, tonight, tomorrow, next week, whenever it is, we ought to be ready. Because we have no fear. Jesus has taken the sting out of death for us. He has conquered it for us. My Savior, my advocate, my lawyer, my life giver. Why should I fear the grim enemy of death when Jesus has it locked up in his hand? But he's going to help us into the heavenly portals. Paul writes in 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 1, "For we know that when this house of our earthly tabernacle is dissolved, we have a building of God, not made with hands, eternal in the heavens." To be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. He will help us into the heavenly portals, just as he's helped us out of the horrible pit and over the hazardous path. He will help us into the heavenly portals. Oh God, our help in ages past, our hope for years to come, our shelter from the stormy blast, and our eternal home. Hitherto hath the Lord helped us. Let us be thankful for our constant helper. And then, finally, let us be thankful for our Christian home. Young people, hear me just a moment. I know your day is coming 2 weeks from today. And the youth director has suggested that the old pro pitch in and preach on Youth Sunday. And so I'm going to do it, the Lord willing. And I've got a message for the young people that I believe will really bless your heart. But let me help you tonight. The Lord may come. Death may come. I don't know. I don't know what's going to happen between now and then. But just in case we don't make it till Youth Sunday, hear me when I say it. Thank God every day that you live for a mother and daddy who live by Christian principles and who bring you into the right way. Oh, I know sometimes you get fussy with mother and daddy, and that's just the human in you. But when all the dust is settled and all is said and done, forever and ever be grateful for a mother and father who will bring you into the house of God and into the ways of the Lord. We ought to be thankful for our Christian homes. You know, when a man goes out to build a house, he doesn't just throw the material out there and hope a house will be erected. He begins in an orderly fashion. He has a blueprint. Here's the blueprint for the Christian home. He has a pattern to go by. God has given us that pattern right here in His Word. And so the carpenter or the builder lays the foundation. He erects the walls. He puts on a roof. And then he gives all those finishing touches. What about our Christian homes? We must have first the proper foundation. Other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, even Jesus Christ our Lord. If our homes do not have Christ at the foundation, then they have no foundation. The Christian home must boast of Christ as its foundation. And what shall I say of the four walls of the Christian home? Let one wall be faith. Let one wall be prayer. We talk a whole lot about air-conditioned homes. Beloved, we ought to have prayer-conditioned homes. Let one wall be the Word. Let one wall be hope. Faith and prayer and the Word and a better hope for a better tomorrow in Christ. They are the walls of the Christian home. And what shall we close it in with? How could we close it in with anything else but L-O-V-E? Let the roof of our Christian homes be love. And then we can add all the finishing touches of a kindness here, and a good deed here, and a helping hand there, and a word of encouragement there. Let us be thankful for our Christian homes. A little girl was saying her prayers one night. And after she had thanked God for the good things of that day, she asked God to keep her through the night. And then as she was closing her prayer, she said, "And dear God, bless Mommy," and there she stopped. And the little hands that were clasped under her chin were unclasped. And tears trickled down her little cheeks. And she said to her mother, "But Mother, I can't pray for Daddy anymore." As long as she had been able to pray, she had always closed her prayer that God would bless Mother and Daddy. But Daddy was dead. And she said to her mother, "Mother, I don't want to leave Daddy out completely from my prayers. Wouldn't it be all right if I would just thank God that one time I did have a good Daddy, and that one day I'll see him again?" And the mother said, "Darling, I think that would be wonderful." And so she continued her prayer to thank God that she had once had a good Daddy and that she wanted to see him again in heaven. Let us tonight be thankful for our Christian homes, for our constant helper, for our colorful heritage. In this Thanksgiving season, in the words of my text this morning, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ concerning you. Let us be thankful. And let us stand for our prayer. Our Heavenly Father, if we can see the innermost recesses of our hearts tonight, we are indeed thankful for our colorful heritage, for that people of an unblighted vision, unflinching faith, unfailing courage. And we thank Thee that they set sail across the wide expanse of the ocean, and from their beginning there, in the early days of this great nation, Thou hast brought us to the powerful people we are tonight. But dear God, we pray that all over this nation tonight, that men and women might fall on their faces before Thee ever lifting their voices and their hearts in praise, because it is only because of thy goodness in the land of the living that we have such a heritage and such a nation as this. We know that there is much that is wrong in our nation, but we thank thee for the stars and stripes. And we know that the church is an imperfect organization because it's made up of imperfect people like ourselves, but we thank thee for the church. We thank thee for our perfect Savior, and we thank thee for our eternal hope, not only of life in this world, but of life to come in the heavenly world. Dear Lord, if there be those tonight who have not yet anchored their faith in Jesus, may they come to trust Him. If there are those here tonight, Heavenly Father, who have not identified themselves with the church, may they come tonight on this Thanksgiving Sunday and identify themselves with thy people. Should there be those who need a special portion of grace, they need a helping hand, a guiding light, may they find it tonight around an altar of prayer. As we pray and ask it in Jesus' name and for His sake, with thanksgiving, amen. As we sing hymn number 355, if you'll get your hymnal and turn there, I want you to sing, and I want you to sing prayerfully. And may I say this before we sing? If you're here tonight and you're lost and without Jesus, I invite you to come and trust Him as your Savior. If you're here tonight and you need that helping hand, that guiding light, that source of strength, I believe you can find it at an altar of prayer. If you're here tonight and you'd like to be identified with Worth Baptist Church, by letter, by baptism, or on your statement, I want you to come. Or if you're here tonight and this being Thanksgiving Sunday, if you'd just like to come to the altar with a prayer of thanksgiving out of your own heart, I want you to come. Whatever your need, while we sing the first stanza.